2 Thessalonians 3, starting at verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honoured as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, open our hearts now to your word. Remove any of the distractions of the day. Help us simply to focus on what it is that you wish us to hear this evening. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said together, Amen. Well, a number of years ago, I was talking with someone who was a stevedore. Does anyone know what a stevedore is?
They supply ships.
Sorry?
They supply ships,
kind of.
They load and unload ships.
That's right. And this particular person was telling me about this rather clever scheme that they had designed in this group that they were working with. This was back in the 80s. And what they had done was this. They had organized a roster. And at the back of one of the warehouses, behind some bales, they had set up a couple of cots. And so what would happen is that during an 8-hour work shift, at any time, at least two people would be having a bit of kip, having a sleep behind the bales. They were being paid to sleep. They were being paid to be idle, and this was sort of an accepted scheme that was going on. But essentially, it was simply stealing. When I worked at the hospital in the Hutt Valley at the beginning of my career, we would have half an hour lunch break. But one thing I learned very quickly is that half hour lunch break was not really half an hour. It was 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and it didn't sit well with me, but I remember the first couple of times getting up after half an hour and being told to sit down. I was creating trouble. I shouldn't go and do my work. I make everyone else look bad. Being paid to slack. And it happens, it's a temptation at work for those of us who are in the workforce or even at home, just to take that slightly longer lunch break. Spend a bit of time on social media. When the boss isn't around, just maybe work a little bit slower. This evening we're considering the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. And we're going to concentrate on one particular aspect of that, Paul's command here to not be idle. Being idle is stealing. Not working is stealing. Not working when we can work, as I would explain. So our theme this evening is that as Christians we are to avoid idleness. As Christians we are to avoid idleness. And our first point this evening, actually I spent some time this afternoon twice writing out the outline sheets. Who'd like an outline sheet? That's what I get for being late too. Grace? Shuffle down here. Anyone else? Can you help you follow along? No? Okay, if you're following along on the sheet or listening, our first point as we look at avoiding idleness is that we are to follow tradition. We are to follow tradition. Now, Paul gives a command here, and notice first of all who he gives the command through. It's not Paul's words here. It's not something that he's made up. It's not good advice that he gives. No, he says here, we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a command that comes from Jesus Christ, our Saviour. As we were reminded when we looked at honouring our parents and we looked at work, the workplace a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded there that as we serve our human bosses, we are actually serving our heavenly boss, Jesus Christ. And we are to serve and do work as if we are serving him. And it is our heavenly boss that gives this command to us through the Apostle Paul. And then he goes on to say there in verse 6, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Paul uses this word here, tradition. Isn't tradition a bad word? Doesn't that sound kind of Roman Catholic? Is Paul saying here that as you are working, as you are in the church, as you are living your lives, you need to follow the traditions of the church? You need to follow in the lines of the Reformation? To follow in the lines of what Calvin taught and did? Is that the tradition he's talking about? Now, the word tradition here could also be translated walking, just as Paul uses a little bit earlier there, walking in idleness. The idea here is that tradition is to walk a certain path, walk in a certain way. We've been spending a little bit of time in Ephesians. If you have your Bibles there, flick with me back just a page or two to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to walk in a certain way. That's the idea of tradition that Paul is talking about here. We are to live our lives, we are to walk in line with what the Scripture teaches us. Not just Paul's teaching. Not just the teaching of the apostles, but the teaching of the whole Bible. And that's true for us today. The way we walk should show who we are. Should show that we are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith should work, should show works. Paul gives himself as an example. We also have the heroes of the faith to give us an example as well. But the challenge to us in this first point this afternoon is, what tradition do we follow? What tradition do we follow as we think of work? Do we follow the tradition of the world and how they work? Or do we follow what Scripture teaches us? We are to follow tradition. We are to walk in a certain way. And then Paul expands what that looks like as he thinks about work and idleness. And that brings us to our second point this afternoon. Our second point is the command to work. Paul is speaking about a brother who walks in idleness, and he uses that word idle a number of times here in our passage. What does he mean by that? Well, we straight away go to laziness, being idle. But the idea here comes more back into that idea of tradition. It's a word that was used to describe a soldier back in Roman times who was not walking in the path that they should. A soldier who was walking out of line that needed to be called back into line. Not living according to the obligations of the Christian life. But yes, here, as Paul uses this word, he is thinking about work, and that will be our focus. That's the focus of Paul's text here this afternoon. But before we look at what Paul says, we need to consider why. Why were some in the church at Thessalonica being idle? Why were some not working? And there's two possibilities here. The first possibility is a theme that comes through the book of Thessalonians, that Christ was returning soon. And the argument goes, well, if Christ is returning soon, why work? Why have a job? Why worry about earthly things if Christ is going to be here any day? That's one possible explanation. But a better explanation, one that fits in here more, is the Roman idea of patronage. If I say that, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Patronage? No? Good. A few no's. Let me explain. The idea of patronage was the idea in society that a rich person in society would look after or help support people who weren't so well off in society. Think of an example of someone who wanted to go and study law. And they couldn't afford to go and study law, so a rich person in the community would say, I'll sponsor you. I'll give you some money to go and study. Or there was a needy family, and a rich person would take them under their wing and in payment back, he would do some work for them. And what it seems was happening in the church of Thessalonica is that these patrons were giving money, giving support. But those receiving it were being lazy. They were taking the money, taking the food, and doing nothing. And Paul says, this isn't on. This, we could say in today's terms, is stealing. Paul uses and counters this with his own example as he speaks about how when he was amongst the Thessalonians, he didn't take any of their support. He could have had it, but he didn't because he wanted to be an example to them that they had to work for their living. They weren't to be a burden on others if they were able to work. Paul says, follow my example. And then he follows that up with a command and reminds them of something that Paul would say to them often. When we are with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Work is a biblical concept. Work is a concept that was instituted before the fall. Genesis 2 verse 15. God placed the man, Adam, in the garden to work. Work isn't a bad thing. God designed work as a good thing. But why do we work? Why does God ask us to work, call us to work? Well, we work for three reasons. We work to live and provide for ourselves. We work so that we don't have to rely on others. We work, and we're going to explore that in our third point a little bit more, we work to provide for others. And we also work to take care of God's good creation that He has given us. And when idleness happens, when we don't work, things break down. There's a saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Can anyone at the workshop? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Can anyone tell me where that is in the Bible? 2 Opinions or Hezekiah. It's not in the Bible. But the saying is true. That was the problem in Thessalonica. Those who were living off the church's back, so to speak, who were slacking, got themselves into trouble. They were sticking their noses in other people's business. They weren't being busy, they were being busybodies. They were meddling in other people's affairs when they should have been getting on with their own work. The 2017 study by Victoria University showed that as unemployment rises, so does crime. That's part of what Paul is talking about here. The idea that if you're not working, if you're idle, trouble happens. When people don't work, they're more idle and they're more prone to crime in society. That's part of the problem we have in society today. To those who are idle in the church at Thessalonica who are not working, Paul says, you need to work. Head down, bottom up, Paul says, in a more modern day translation, if I can put it that way. Verse 12. Now to such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now Paul isn't speaking here to those who cannot work. He's speaking to those who can work, who are able to work. Work is a good thing ordained by God. We are commanded to work. But we also face challenges in our modern world today. And that's our third and final point this afternoon. The challenges of working in a welfare world. I mentioned patronage. Patronage was a big part of Roman society. In New Zealand, we don't have that kind of arrangement anymore. We live in a welfare society. There are differences in society from now to back then. Back then, because of the price of food, food would take about 50% of the average family's wages. 50%. Today, according to figures, and I don't know what it's like in your household, but according to the figures, it's about 20%. So that's a difference in itself. If you've got teenagers, that figure might not quite be right. But that's different. It means that back then, a majority of what people were doing and earning was simply to be able to put food on their plates. We don't have that kind of pressure today, do we? We've got so much more time and money to spend on other things. On our hobbies. On our leisure. But the biggest difference between society back then and society now is that in the Roman times there was no such thing as government support. Unless you had a sponsor, if you didn't work, you simply could not eat. If you were unable to work, there was no support for you. The church fulfilled that role back in those times. And in fact, throughout all of history, the church has fulfilled that role for those who are unable to work, for those who need support. But society has changed that, and in some ways has taken that work of the gospel away from the church. That changed in New Zealand in 1898, when government support was placed in by a Labour government. Support that came first of all for those of old age, and then support for widowers. And then in 1938, Joseph Savage, another Labour Prime Minister, introduced the Social Security Act, and that changed our society as we know it. Support for unemployed support for invalids and sick and those who are suffering from sickness, an emergency benefit for those in need. And we can give thanks for that system in some ways, that we live in a society, we live in a country where no one needs to go hungry. That if you are unable to work, you are still able to eat. There are support networks out there to help. But there are also negatives. And when we can work, we should. The negative is that it creates a dependency on the government, a dependency on the state. Instead of a hand up to people, it becomes simply a hand out. People come to expect it, to demand it as a right. There's a sense in which we think we deserve something. And if we can get something for nothing, we should do so. Why work if the government will pay you not to? To that, Paul says, work quietly, earn your own living. Don't steal. If you can work, you should. But there are variations that I've come across in even our own circles. I remember talking to someone a number of years ago. He told me that they'd come across the scheme that they were going to apply and apply this to their own life. He worked it out, did all the calculations, and decided that if he worked so many hours of the week and no more, he could get the government to pay for the rest. He deliberately structured his work so he only worked so many hours, and then with family support and everything else, he could enjoy life for the rest of the week. That's stealing. But Ephesians 4 verse 28 gives us another reason why we should work and why we should not be idle. Turn with me once again back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4 verse 28. We learned last week about that pattern of the putting offs and putting ons. And here is a put off and a put on in verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, put off stealing, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. Why should the thief no longer steal? Why should the thief work? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Why should we work? Not just for ourselves, not just to make our lives better, but also so that we can help others. That's part of Paul's challenge and encouragement there in verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't stop supporting others. Don't stop helping out others. When we as a family spent time in the States at seminary, we learned the blessing of being supported by other people. And that helped teach us to learn also to be generous. To learn that work is not just for ourselves, not just to further our own goals, but also so that we can help others. Paul challenges us, commands us, our Savior commands us to not be idle, to work. And as we close this evening, just two applications. I can't apply this to everyone right now, here and now. Some work to do at home as you think about these examples I give you as well. The first example is to those of you who are students. You're about to hit summer. Beaches, although Christchurch beaches are pretty good, aren't they? Beaches, taking it easy, doing what you want. Can I encourage you to think about work so that you are able to help others? but also to those of us who are retired. You may be retired from normal work, if I can put it that way, but you are never retired from God's work. You are never retired from God's work. And the call to those of us who are retired this evening is to consider, how are we working for God's people? That God has given you time, more time. How are you working to help others? We are called to work. Not working is stealing. Work is a concept, a biblical concept given to us. And we work to feed ourselves, but also to support others. Here, Paul's challenge to you this afternoon. Do not grow weary in doing good. As we close, I'd like to quote from a hymn in our hymnals. I thought about singing it. Well, I'm not going to sing it, but I thought about us singing it, but we don't know it very well. So hear these words as we close this evening. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Your joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Go labor on while it is day. The world's dark night is hastening on. Speed, speed your work. Cast sloth away. It is not thus that souls are won. Toil on, faint not, keep watch and pray, be wise, the erring soul to win. Go forth into the world's highway, compel the wanderer to come in. Toil on, and in your toil rejoice, for toil comes rest, for exile home. Soon you shall hear the bridegroom's voice, the midnight cry, behold, I come. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've given us work as a good thing. We thank you for your command to follow your words in your word. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes that possible. Help us to follow in his ways, his commands. And help us to follow also, Lord, as we consider how we work, be it in paid work, be it in unpaid work, be it in our retirement, be it even in our holiday time. Lord, help us to work not just to serve ourselves, but also to help others. Help us to consider that as we work, being reminded as we were a couple of weeks ago that we work to obey you, that we work to honor you, but also reminded, as we've been encouraged this evening, that we work to be able to help others. Use us, we pray, in your kingdom. And use us as we work as Christians, as we set an example, as we often will stand out in how we work. Use that too as an opportunity for us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As people see, as people notice, as people ask us, why are we different? Why do we work the way we do? That gives us an opportunity to be able to witness to him who gave us the command to work, our Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the words now of number 501, words that remind us to offer all of our lives as a sacrifice and service to God. Let's sing, and we will sing all six stanzas. Nice and short there, so take my life and let it be. And just as you're singing these words, think about what you're doing and what you're promising here. All that we have is given in service to God and for his use. Number 501.